Good morning. We are learning the Sefer Tiferet Shlomo for Parshas Devarim and in preparation for Tisha B'Av. So what we're going to learn today is Tisha B'Av Torah. And so we should see it as that because we do, just like we are required to prepare ourselves for times of joy, we have to prepare ourselves for this is the time of the Jewish people's mourning. We're going to start with a little short thoughts, but we're going to try to tie them all together from the Tiferet Shlomo. The first comment he's making is on Moshe Rabbeinu's drasha to the Jewish people at the beginning of the parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I said to Hashem, Echa esa levadi, how can I bear alone? Tarchachem, asachem, verivchem. He uses the word Echa, of course, and that's pointed out. And so Hashem said, we're going to get other people involved. So I took all these people, says Moshe Rabbeinu, and I instructed your judges at that time. And what I said to them, continuing on the psukim, v'hadavar asher yikshe mikem, and if there's any matter that's too difficult for you judges, takrivun elai, bring that to me, Ushma'ativ, and I will hear it.
Okay. And
this 2:23. So I am Pirush Rashi. So see what Rashi says. So read the Rashi. Takrivu Na'ilai, Al Davar Zeh Nistalek Mimenu Mishpat Benos Salafchad. That Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have said, you know, if you need anything, come to me. That's why he was taken away from him, the Benos Salafchad, V'chein Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said, Anochi Aroa, and that's why he also lost some information. The Tiferet Shlomo has a theme throughout his points on Tisha B'Av, and primarily they relate to the Kabbalistic concept of Yesod, but the way we're going to explain, the way we're going to understand it, is that a big part of Tisha B'Av is the roles that the Jewish people have in connection with the tzaddikim of the generation. And when there's a strong connection between the tzaddikim of the generation and the Jewish people, then there's a strong connection between Hashem and the Jewish people. And when the Jewish people cut themselves off from the tzaddikim, they're also cutting themselves off from Hashem. But why? Why? Because every person has within them the capacity to give. And this includes to give people things, to give yourself things, to give people words, to give yourself words, to give people inspiration thoughts, and to give yourself inspiration thoughts. We give. And there's many, many different ways of giving. And unfortunately, there's many, many ways of misgiving, of giving incorrectly, of giving badly, of giving where you're not supposed to give. And the tzaddikim, their job in this world is to try to make sure that people are directed towards giving to the right places. And when you don't have tzaddikim, then people end up giving of their energy and resources to the wrong places. And so the attribute of Yesod, which is connected to the Midah of Malchus, so Yesod is the male, masculine aspect which gives, and the Malchus is the feminine aspect which receives, which we don't have to go into the whole Kabbalistic discussion of it right now. But on Tisha B'Av, that's specifically where the destruction takes place. In the realm of Yesod, which is when all this positive influence, which is supposed to be channeled towards doing mitzvahs, instead is channeled towards doing averus, especially when it comes to exhausting one's energy towards averus. So when that's taken away, that's when the destruction happens. I know that's an oversimplification, but we'll come back to this point. It'll make more sense as we read this. So he wants to suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the judges, if there's anything that's too difficult, come to me. V'nira l'rami, so I'd like to suggest an allusion. Adav sha'amru b'medrash rabba, the Medrash Rabbah tells us, Shehalach Yirmiya b'shas gezeres hachorban, and this is in our kinos, and it's alluded to in Echa itself, that Yirmiya Hanavi, when he saw the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash was imminent, he tried to do everything to stop the destruction. tried to do everything, tried to warn the Jewish people, and they did all kinds of terrible things to him. Why are you trying to scare us with your paranoia, they said to Yirmiyah. And he's a Navi of Hashem. He's a Navi of Hashem. And they were ignoring him, and he was trying. So at one point, he reaches out to the Avos. Shehalach Yirmiyah b'shaz gzeris achur v'nal kivrei Avos lishtatei achsham. And he went and he davened at the Ma'aris HaMachpelah. So Yirmiyah comes to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov and says, let's stop the destruction. V'amrlo, and the Medrash tells us that the Avos said to Yirmiyah, Sheyelech Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom, don't come to us, go to Moshe. Shehu HaMotzi Osa MiMitzrayim, because he was the only one who could bring the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. V'hu yamod b'peretz, so Moshe Rabbeinu, he can stand in the breach. Levakeishu lishchanen al roa agzera, to request and beseech for the terrible decree. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, let's pick the example by the egel, Hashem was going to wipe out the Jewish people, and Moshe Rabbeinu stood at the breach, he stood at the entrance and said, it's not going to happen. Right? I mean, Hashem told him he can do that, but he prayed for the Jewish people and saved them. So the Avos said, this is beyond us to stop the destruction. Go to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Wow.
How does this story relate to the Gemara where Yitzchak is the one who stands in breach?
Right. Excellent. So that may even come up in our discussion soon, but that's referring to the end of days, and presumably this is referring to at the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. That's just to keep the answer simple. No. So says the Tiferes Shlomo that this isn't something that every Medrash, every Maimer Chazal, every thought that has ever been recorded to us by our great sages is somewhere in Torah Shebiksav, somewhere in the written Torah as well. So he says, "V'zeh Remez, b'davar zeh." So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the judges. He's really speaking not to the judges that he appointed at that time, but to all the leaders of the Jewish people for all generations. "V'zeh Remez, b'davar zeh." "V'adavar asher yiksha mikem." If there's anything that's too difficult for you, "V'atzlomer asher yiksha mikem u'mikochachem." It is beyond your power. "Shlo tuchlu od lisbol olagolus." Rahman al-Islam, if the exile just becomes so difficult and you can't handle it anymore. So says Moshe Rabbeinu, Takrivin elai, Yushmativ, bring it to me and I will hear you. Shetavohu elai, you will come to me. Ve'eshma ritzonchem, and I will hear your will. Lehispala ba'adchem, to pray for your sake. Ve'kal lahavin. So the first thought is that Moshe Rabbeinu is actually suggesting this in the psukim itself. When he says to the judges, it's too difficult, you'll bring it to me, he's referring to, as we've said many times, every word in the Torah applies to every single Jew at any moment in time. And if that's true, then that pasuk is speaking to each one of us and saying that we can go to the tzaddik and we can ask the tzaddik to daven for us. And this is another source. I mean, obviously, we've already accepted this as a halachic given, but originally there's a question how you can go and daven at a kever. And we're not davening to the person who's passed, but still, why isn't that a problem of Dorish al Amesim, especially if we ask them for a thing? The answer is, if we ask them to daven, we're not asking them to do anything. Right? And so Moshe Rabbeinu is Yirmiyah comes to the Avos, which is like Kalev went to the Avos. And at that time, there was Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Midbar. But now Moshe Rabbeinu is in Shamayim, and he's able to daven, and so this idea in the Medrash is hinted to in the verses. But also, what that means, this first point, is that Moshe Rabbeinu also understands that Parshas Devarim is Shabbos Chazon. This idea that if in the time of the exile, if things get really bad, you'll bring it to me, is in Parshas Devarim.
Does it matter that we don't know where he's buried?
Right, because in Shemayim, Yirmiyah is talking to them in Shemayim. So.
Just pray to them. You don't have to go to the kever.
Well, in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't go to the kever. But Yirmiyah didn't go to the kever. He went to Shemayim. He found Moshe Rabbeinu and asked him to doubt him. So when you get those keys...
Okay. It's with the childbirth and the rain.
Yeah, so that's yeah, yeah. So that's a thought that comes from Parshas Devarim. Mm-hmm. But now, the Tiferes Shlomo, presumably, he gave these drashas on Shabbos Chazon and on Tisha B'Av. So here is an idea that the Tiferes Shlomo shared on the Shabbos Chazon. There's really two pieces I want to share. One, which we're not going to do, and I was just recommending it for those who are listening, that if you want to, you can check it out yourself, if you could say it like that. He has an elaboration on why the Hasidic approach to Shabbos Chazon is one filled with great joy rather than one filled with too much mourning. But we're not going to do that because we're past Shabbos Chazon, so I want to focus on the points that are related to what we can think about on Tisha B'Av. Mashemuva b'Gemara, the Gemara tells us, Sh'Rabbi Tzadok his ana arba'im shana, that one of the great sages, Rabbi Tzadok, fasted for 40 years, Shlo yechrav ha-Beis HaMikdash, that the Beis HaMikdash should not be destroyed. We know that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, we'll talk about him soon, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai meets Vespasian, and he gives him his, what are your three wishes? One of them is for a doctor to heal Rabbi Tzadok, because he had been fasting for 40 years, that the Beis HaMikdash should not be destroyed. Vekasha asks the Radomsker, Halo ho'il klum, he didn't accomplish anything. Kila b'sof, because in the end, b'avonasenu aravim, because of our great sins, nechrav, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So all those fasts for nothing, and included in that question, as we all understand, is all those prayers for nothing. And this is I'm saying for nothing in the question, right? Because that's how the question is asked. All those prayers for nothing, obviously the answer is going to be that that's not correct, but we're going to phrase the question like that. Every time there's a tzara, and people daven and they daven and they daven, and it doesn't come out the way that we're hoping, what happened to those tefillos? So this is the question he's asking. And he says, Ach kavanaso haya, Reb Tzadik's intentions were, b'chol yom v'yom, each and every day, shirak hayom lo yecharev, today, let the Beis HaMikdash not be destroyed.
What a time.
And he accomplished with every one of his fasts a delay of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And we should know that every one of our tefillos accomplishes something. We just don't get to see the accounting behind it. But he's saying, Reb Tzadik fasted 40 years, he gave the Beis HaMikdash 40 years. U'b'chol yom, each day, Hisane al yom, he prayed for that, he fasted for that day. Shlo yacharav hayom, let the Beis HaMikdash not be destroyed today. And it's interesting that if there's a doctor that's healing Rabbi Tzadok, that means that he was finished fasting. So the Beis HaMikdash was not destroyed until he was done fasting. And it sounds like he was too sick and he couldn't fast anymore. That's what we understand from that story. Right? So the way he's reading it. So had Rabbi Tzadok had the strength to continue to fast, he would have delayed the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Radomsker is saying.
Maybe that's why he asked him for a doctor, because he wants to be able to make Rav Tzadok keep
going. We'll see. We'll see soon. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai has a little bit of a different plan. But you could go there. Just from what he's saying here. But what he's suggesting is that Rav Tzadok actually did, because he stopped fasting, the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. And as long as he was fasting, if he only had the strength. You know, there's a story told about the Chafetz Chaim, that someone had a certain illness, and came to the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim promised him that if he would take on a certain mitzvah, that he would be healed, and he was healed, and he kept that mitzvah. And then one time he broke that mitzvah. I don't want to spend the whole time telling the whole story, so I'm keeping it short. He broke that mitzvah, and he got sick again. He came back to the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim said, I don't have the strength to fast anymore, like he did the first time. He had fasted for this person a certain number of fasts and healed him together with the person taking on that mitzvah, but now he no longer, he was older and he could no longer fast that way. Right? Imagine the Chafetz Chaim fasting and fasting for someone else, for one person. So Rav Tzadok, these are, Chafetz Chaim lived 100 years ago. Rav Tzadok, he fasted and he mamish. So what does this mean? This means that Rav Tzadok held up the entire Beis HaMikdash himself. The rest of us were doing nothing for it. And that's part of the difficulties of Galus, that the Tiferes Shlomo is going to go to this place. We're saying that there are always tzaddikim. And if we just do a little bit, if we just start dealing with the major issues, the tzaddikim can carry us and lift us up. But if the Jewish people have left everything to the righteous, they can't bear it themselves. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says, Echa Esa Levadi, to have only the tzaddikim, everyone needs to help the tzaddikim. And the destruction comes from, Hashem listens to the tzaddikim, but they can't do it themselves. V'chem atzinu b'feresh b'medrash Echa, etzer ablazer hamodai, she'esfal kol yom al yom l'shalom, ablazer hamodai would daven each and every day, that there should be peace that day. Says Shlomo of Radomsk, I think we should all learn from this. Derech la'abdus Hashem yizbarach. This is a way to serve Hashem also. Shebechol yom tamid, each and every day, yispal la'adam, a person should daven, li'natzel hayom mi'ayetzer hara. You should say to yourself like this. Tomorrow, I'm going to go back to doing averus. I'm just taking one day off. One day off of doing averus. Hashem, I'm davening, I'm asking, give me as many averus as you want next week. Today, I'm not doing any averus. Well, don't say that part about wanting to do averus next week. That's never a good thing to say out loud, right? But a person should daven just today. And you can do that, because people have in their heads averus that they're doing. I don't mean like terrible things. No one here does terrible things. But you know, you have this idea that you're going to do this or that tomorrow. Ulamachar, and then tomorrow, ayomachar, also tomorrow. Ki im yisfalel, apamachas yefshar. Because to try to do it all at once, it's too much. Raklasos mishpat Hashem, rather to the judgment of Hashem, devar yom b'yomo, each day on its own. Yes?
You know, we cut ourselves off from the tradition, but does the tradition ever cut themselves off from us?
So there's two kinds of tzaddikim. There are tzaddikim who are generally connected to the people, and then there's the tzaddikim who sort of create their own spaces. And so we're talking here about the tzaddikim that see themselves as trying to elevate the people. So those tzaddikim, they daven for the people, and so those tzaddikim would never cut themselves off from people, because they see that sense of responsibility. And that's their job, it's their role. The leaders of the Jewish people have a job, and that's to lead. Right? They have to provide spiritual guidance to Klal Yisrael as part of, that's what they're supposed to do. So, Rav Tzadok is, in this case, he's davening for the all of Klal Yisrael. And he himself is holding up the Beis HaMikdash, but he's limited. He's limited because one person can only do so much. How much can a person fast? Tzadik got really sick. He got so sick that the Gemara describes this image of the way that you could see him eat. Right?
He had a date at night, right? Just one date?
Yeah, you could see the going down.
Going down.
Okay. So, this is Tisha B'Av Torah. So, a little deeper and a little harsher. Sachaku al Mishbateha. Page 229. A pasuk in Eicha. Sachaku al Mishbateha. The Goyim, they laughed. Literally, al Mishbateha, on our seizure, our stoppings, like to be shoves means to stop and to end, a cessation. So they were laughing at our cessation. So the Medrash explains, that's an interesting word to use, right? So the Medrash says, Al Shabso Seha, that it's alluding to the fact that we didn't keep Shabbos properly. And so, therefore, they were laughing al mishbataha, meaning on our cessation, but really on the consequences of our not keeping Shabbos. Va'al shemitah seha, and also shemitah is called Shabbos. So al mishbataha means that we weren't keeping shemitah properly, and so therefore we were punished. Offers the Medrash a third explanation, davar acher, al Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sheshavas mitocha, who ceased from being in Yerushalayim. So sachaku al mishpatel means there were three Shabbos that happened that caused the destructions. One is not keeping literal Shabbos. Two is not keeping the yearly Shabbos, Shemitah. And third is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai being shoves, meaning stopping to be inside Yerushalayim. In Elchora, seemingly, ma'inyan Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lekan. What's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai doing in Sefer Eicha? And why does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai leaving Yerushalayim, what does it have to do with Sachaku al Mishbatah compared to the Jewish people not keeping Shabbos or Shemitah? Hinei Rak, the answer is Hakol Chad, because Shabbos, Shemitah, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai are the same thing. Hu Hayesod Umashpia. There is a concept of time, of space, and of person. Olam Shana Nefesh. Olam Shana Nefesh. Olam means where, Shana means when, and Nefesh means who. And in that greatest of times, the greatest of times, the where is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. And the when is Yom Kippur. And the who is the Kohen Gadol. You combine those three, the holiest place, the holiest time, and the holiest person, and you have mamish, the great revelations that would occur when a real tzaddik of the Kohen Gadol would go into the Kodesh Kadashim, as the Gemara describes in multiple places. They would mamish, even during the second Beis HaMikdash, they would see incredible visions, the ones that were tzaddikim. On the other hand, you can have variations in place. The bathroom is the opposite. I mean, technically based off of the Zara, but the bathroom is a place of Tumah compared to, you know, Mikdash. And you can have the same thing in time. That's Tisha B'Av. It's a time of weakness for the Jewish people. Unfortunately, the Gaim seem to know that. Right? But it's in terms of time, it's a place where one of the explanations for why you're not supposed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av, because it's the equivalent of learning Torah in the bathroom. The whole day is the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Right? It gets a little easier towards the end of the day, so we can start putting talis and tefillin on. Because the way that it's described, in Kippur we don't wash our hands because we don't need to, and on Tisha B'Av we don't fully wash our hands because it won't help. Mm-hmm. And the role of Yesod, the role of the Tzaddik, the role of the provider. That's why Yosef is the Tzaddik Yesod Olam, because he's the provider. The provider is a physical provider, right? That's why the masculine role versus the feminine. But in terms of the Tzaddikim, they are the masculine to the rest of the Jewish people's receiving of that. And so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the attribute of Yesod, because he is the source for blessing for the Jewish people in his generation. He's the tzaddik of the generation. And Shabbos is also the mashpia. All your blessings, everything that you receive, comes to you from Shabbos. And that's why the Zohar asks, how can all the brachas come to us? People say this during the Suda of Shabbos, those who recite those Zohars. How can we receive the blessing if Shabbos itself didn't have man? How could it be Vayvarech Halakim Es Yom HaShvi'i, that Hashem blessed the seventh day? And the answer is that the seventh day is the blessing, right? And that provides for the whole week. And Shemitah provides for the whole week. for the whole all 7 years. And if a person would realize that leaving your field fallow, leaving it empty, leaving it unworked, so that you're giving it back to Hashem, it's like you are plugging it back in and reloading all your blessings for 6 more years, like the Orach Chaim HaKadosh writes, that Hashem only created this world to survive for 6 days. And then, when we keep Shabbos, we give the world 6 more days. Because all of existence comes from. We should know that there. It's like that with tzaddikim. That the tzaddikim, they carry the world, and they keep. Without them, the world couldn't go on. And so, not keeping Shabbos is the same thing as not keeping Shemitah, which we're about to learn has the same effect as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai leaving Yerushalayim. Shabbos, Hu Hamashpia L'chol Yimei Shavua, Shabbos provides for the whole week, all your blessings come on Shabbos. V'chein Shemitah, Gam Ken Shabbos, Shemitah is also Shabbos. V'tamad Chacham, Nikr Gam Ken Shabbos, and the Tamad Chacham is called Shabbos. So whatever Shabbos is to time, that's what Torah scholar is to soul. V'chazman sh'Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai haya besoch Yerushalayim, so as long as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was in Yerushalayim, lo haya be'efshari lias nechrav, Yerushalayim couldn't be destroyed. I'm reminded of the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu. Nachum Ish Gamzu laid on the bed, he had no arms, he had no legs, and so they had to put the legs of the bed into barrels of water so that insects could not crawl up because he had no way of getting rid of them. And so they wanted to move him to a different house, and because the house he was living in was a little shaky, so he said, well, first take all the vessels out and then take me out. So they took the vessels out, then they took him out, and the whole house collapsed. Right? So if they would have taken him out first, so obviously, I'm not going to go over that story for how he got this way. Right? It's a very painful story. You know, he missed providing for a poor person by a few seconds. I'm not going to repeat the story, but the point is, he was holding the house up. He was literally his righteousness was holding the house up.
He cursed himself.
Yeah, we're not learning that story, but yeah, that's a Nachamish. He's Nachamish Gamzer, right? But as soon as he leaves, the house falls down. We find this in a number of places in Chazal. So what he's saying is, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was holding up all of Yerushalayim.
So why did he leave?
So here's what I understand. One of the Gemara in Gittin, one of the approaches, one of the opinions in the Gemara, is that the rabbis call out Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They say, Meshiv Chachamim Achor, that we know that when Hashem wants to bring destruction, the Gemara tells us, Hashem makes his wisest people
dumb.
Yeah. Meshiv Chachamim Achor. So Hashem just removes, so in the discussions between Vespasian and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Aspasianus and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai seems to not give the best answer, and since Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the most brilliant person in the world at this time, right, he knew the right answer. The answer is Hashem kept it from him. And we've seen this unfortunately throughout our generations, is that often suddenly the leaders and the sages of the Jewish people lose the right instructions because Hashem has a plan. And that we understand that's part of Hashem's Hashgacha on Klal Yisrael. The question, one of the points that the Gemara brings up is when Aspasianus, when Vespasian asks him, so what do you want? He should have said, give us Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he thought that wasn't going to happen. And so he asked for Yavna, Bechachamel, Rabbi Gamliel's family, and Rabbi Tzadok. Why did he think it would not work? So now we understand that the Tiferet Shlomo is telling us the answer to that. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as long as he was inside Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim was not going to be destroyed. But what was happening inside Yerushalayim was worse. Worse than the destruction. What happened? These three wealthy individuals said, we will sustain Yerushalayim for 20 plus years. So actually, there's problem number one. That the Jewish people are in trouble and they think that a bunch of rich people can pay their way out of the issue. Right? And unfortunately, that's sometimes where it goes, is that the people with a lot of affluence who believe they can also have influence in Shamayim. And so that's what happens here.
Well,
I always think that's step one in destruction, which is where instead of the spiritual leadership, the physical leaders came in and said, I'll provide this, I'll provide that, we're all fine. And so what happens is the Biryonim, these zealots who wanted war, they burned everything down. You know, this kind of situation, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says he's going to concede Yerushalayim. And he leaves, knowing that him going out the walls means that Yerushalayim can be destroyed. Because what was happening in Yerushalayim, and I'm not here to mock any of the individual groups, but you see this fighting that was going on. Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. B'chol zman sh'Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai haya b'soch Yerushalayim, lo haya b'afshir Elias Nachrav. So as long as Rabbi Yochanan, he says, spells the words out. As long as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim couldn't be destroyed. But once the foundation, the support for the Jewish people, the tzaddik, v'halach chutz liYerushalayim, that's what it sounds like. As soon as he took a few steps outside Yerushalayim, as mimela nechrav Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim was destroyed. Tibaneh v'tichonen b'mehira b'yameinu, amen, may be rebuilt soon.
So he did it on purpose?
He's saying he had no choice. He realized the only solution right now, the Jewish people, he can keep Yerushalayim standing, but at the cost of the people. People are destroying themselves. Right? If a bunch of people get together and say, we've got these storehouses, we'll sustain everyone. Why in the world would someone burn that down? Right? It's because we don't agree with what you're doing, and we're going to force you to take our position, which is to go fight wars. And neither of these people, it seems, was consulting the rabbis, otherwise it would have suggested something like this. I'm not trying to read too much into the Gemara. But clearly, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, okay, this is the approach to take. And so that explains why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai felt he couldn't ask for Yerushalayim. All right, one more. It's tough Torah.
Would you compare the situation in Israel now with the situation? There's people that don't want to keep on fighting with Hamas. And there are some people that are...
Yeah, I would say, without question, whatever the matzav, b'zman hazeh, without question, does not resemble in all its details the Tisha B'Av story in terms of Romans and siege. It's not quite like that. But the fighting amongst ourselves part, we're doing perfectly.
Perfect. Yeah,
that we're managing mamish exactly like the. I mean, you can see, and I'm saying in Eretz Yisrael, this internal fighting to the point where people are doing not such nice things. So that much we're fulfilling. Not here to prosecute against Klal Yisrael Chas V'Shalom at all. But if we say if the foxes are running in the Temple Mount, then that's a sign that Od Yeshu Zakenim is a Kenis Berachov is Yerushalayim. So we see we're living the parsha of Tisha B'Av. We should also live the Geula. Okay, one more of these. These are hard Torahs, and if anyone's finding criticism in this, it's because that's part of mourning is to be harsh with ourselves and to take a little bit of a reality check, but not in a way where it's meant to put anyone down. It's all meant for a person to think about what they can do differently. Migdash
Rabbi Wojch?
Yes.
Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for Jewish people, and we did so many different things, so many wrong things, and he still prayed. Why wouldn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai pray for us, even though we
It seems like now. I hear the question. It seems from the way that he's understanding this that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did pray, but he felt that his options were exhausted. Just like Rabbi Tzadok was fasting for 40 years, he himself was holding up the Beis Hamikdash, and at some point he couldn't fast anymore. It was out beyond his ability to do anymore. It sounds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was living in Yerushalayim and he was trying to hold it up. And then he realizes that whatever he needs to do now is gonna cost Yerushalayim, And you know that's what he has to do. So the way it seems like he's saying it is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did daven until things got so bad. And what I'm understanding he means is when the fighting got so bad that as a leader of Yerushalayim, the leader of the Jewish people, but he was in Yerushalayim, that he couldn't. His nephew was one of the Baryonim, and he says to his nephew, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And he says, "Listen, they won't even listen to me." He's the leader of the Baryonim. The zealous people are so zealous that they can't listen to their own leaders. So, you know, is it true that the zealous Jews can't listen to their leaders when the non-zealous Jews are not listening to their leaders? Right? How does this work exactly? But yet it was the situation was just too much. So we would say that it exceeded Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's ability to hold it together. So whatever davening, it ran out. That's the story of Tisha B'Av, because Hashem doesn't just bring the destruction whenever we do anything bad. It's a delayed process. V'noshantem. Over 900 years, we were in Eretz Yisrael the first time before the Chorban. And almost immediately, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Vekama amazeh v'zana," right after your death, they're going to start worshipping idols. So, you know, the days of Yeshua, and then, you know, but Hashem still gave it 900 plus years. Okay. Mikdash HaRishon, the first base of Mikdash, Nechrav was destroyed, Baharigas Zechariah, by the death of Zechariah the prophet. So, the Jewish people were sinning, and it was Shabbos, it was Yom Kippur, it was the base of Mikdash. It was Shabbos, it was Yom Kippur, it was the Beis HaMikdash. And Zechariah the prophet got up and started giving Musar to the Jewish people, and they killed him in the Beis HaMikdash. He was a Kohen, and he was a Navi, and it was Shabbos, and it was Yom Kippur, and it was the Beis HaMikdash.
He was Kohen Gadol?
Lavda. It was a Kohen. So he says that that's only a reflection of where the Jewish people were spiritually. Shehayisod, the foundation, the providing element, Nikra Zachar, is called Zachar because it's the masculine aspect. Every person has within them the masculine and the feminine, the giving and the receiving. And specifically what we're saying is that the destruction of Beis HaMikdash happens when we're giving to the wrong place, when we're providing to the wrong areas, when we're providing seemingly acts of kindness but to the wrong places. Right? And that includes taking spiritual energy and wasting it. Right? Wasting spiritual energy, and that has many definitions, Maven Yavin. Right? So Shuhu Hamashpia, the male is the provider. V'zesha Amar Akasuv, and that's why the verse states, Zichru'u Nifla'osav Asher Asa, remember Nifla'osav, the wonders, Asher Asam, which Hashem did. So Zichru also means to make masculine. Shiyavo L'chal Hashpa, and that the Jewish people should generate, should do things that generate miracles, and that becomes Zichru'u Nifla'osav, doesn't just mean to remember the miracles, but to become the people who are channeling miracles into this world. And that's us, each person, taking responsibility for the world. If you take responsibility for the world, you become this element of Yesod. If you realize that everything that has to happen is up to you, you become that person. And b'chol makom shenizkar zikaron, whenever you hear zikaron, is always masculine. Who yisod? It's a reference to the attribute of yisod. V'zehu yom hazikaron. That's why there's a concept called yom hazikaron. U'kishehatzadik avad, when the tzadik is lost, haynu ayisod. That means we lose our provider. We lose the foundation that we're living on. We lose the attribute of yisod. Zehaya harigas Zechariah. That was the death of Zechariah. Hainu Zachar and Yudhe. So he's saying that the Jewish people killing the person, the tzaddik, the kadosh, the tahor, Zechariah, was a reflection of where they were in a spiritual place. And anytime every person's specific sins are a reflection of what they're, and what the Tver Shlomo is revealing to us, is that if the people reach that kind of place, that means they were so detached from their leaders that they were unable to receive from their leaders and therefore unable to lead and to give to those who would receive from them. There was a detachment. Everyone was selfish and mind your own business and I'm doing my thing. I don't want to hear from someone else how I should live my life. You know, these. So you cut yourself off, you cut off the Yesod and Malchus. Okay? Now, the Kabbalistic element of this is one thing. But hear this Torah, because this is a Mikdash Sheni, by the second base of Mikdash. Who's responsible for the destruction of the second base of Mikdash? So the Gemara says, Akamtza Ubar Kamtza. Now what does this mean? So it doesn't say Kamtza and Kamtza. It says because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. So that's why there's many explanations. For example, one explanation is because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, the base of Mikdash was destroyed. Doesn't mean because of actual Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. Because what did Kamsa do? Kamsa didn't even show up. He wasn't even invited to his best friend's wedding. Or son's wedding. So why are we mentioning Kamsa? The answer is, Kamsa Ubar Kamsa, because of the situation of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Because every Jew in Yerushalayim had a Kamsa and a Bar Kamsa. A person they talk to and a person they don't talk to. And every person in Yerushalayim, every Jew, had people who are their friends and people who they will never ever talk to again. And that's what Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. That's many other explanations. But there are other explanations. The other explanations tell you to look at the rest of the story. Who's at fault?
Chacham.
Which ones?
The ones at the party.
The ones at the party who did nothing. All those people who didn't stand up and say, this is not how we treat other people. Why didn't they stand up? Because
they didn't think they could help.
Either they didn't think that they could do anything, right? Or it didn't seem like it was such a big deal.
Relying on people who got money.
Right, the politics of it, right?
How about the Kohen Gadol or refused to bring the sacrifice of Romans because they had
Right, very good. But the story continues. Because Bar Kamsa couldn't destroy the base of Mikdash himself. And he was going to go report to the Romans. So he reported to the Romans. And the Romans didn't believe him. So he said, prove it, bring a sheep. Bar Kamsa put a little blemish in it. Imagine the Kohen. Regular day in the Beis HaMikdash, suddenly walks in, Bar Kamsa, with two soldiers. And so he runs to the Sanhedrin, the Kohen, and says, what do I do? So, what's the answer?
That's
what's
Hashem
the answer? What are you supposed
away.
To do?
That's when Hashem takes away the...
Yeah, so what were they supposed to do? Offer it!
Offer it.
Offer it, pikuach nefesh. And so what happens? One of the rabbis gets up and he says, Yomru, they will say, you can bring a balmum as a korban. We can't have such a precedent. What was his name? So, Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulus. And the Gemara says, the language of the Gemara is, Amvasanusa shel Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulus, the anava, the humility, simple translation, of Rav Zechariah ben Avkulus destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So the question is, what do you mean humility? So Rashi, in his commentary to the Gemara there, translates the words anvasanuso as savlanuso, his patience, his tolerance, because he was tolerating Bar Kamsa's shtick. He was putting up with and sort of allowing things when he should have responded with, let's get rid of this guy. That's how Rashi learns. But there are other explanations. And I once saw in one of the Sfarim that says that the explanation was that Rav Zechariah ben Avkulus was at that wedding.
Same thing.
Yeah. And you know, there he didn't say anything either. And that's why he uses the term Abbasanuso. You know, he was the one who didn't think that he, if he said anything, that it would make, that would make any difference. But now in the Sanhedrin, he says something. Yeah, now he's got an idea, and so that's one of, I saw this in the Sefer. I wouldn't say such a pshat myself, but on some level we understand that Amasanusa Sherb Zachari ben Avkulus means his lowliness, his perspective of himself. But usually anav is seen as a positive thing.
Not always.
Right? Right? But sometimes you have anav that's wrong, and here is a place where he should have felt emboldened to say, no, we're not gonna allow Bar Kamsa's plan. And of course we know that Usiyata Dishmaya, as the Gemara says, Hashem was Messiah to Bar Kamsa, so you know that things work out, and the, you know, sometimes for the,
it says in the this expansion, in the case of Sichon, Metzad Ruchol. Right there.
Yeah. Hashem compelled it. But usually, yeah. Hashem does that to our enemies. But Hashem is doing that to us.
Yeah, the same way.
Yeah. So he's saying that it's Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulus, and his name is Zechariah, just like Zechariah. It's the same Zechariah. I mean, it's the same name because it was the same issue that the Jewish people were having. We cut ourselves off from our leaders, and we took our away the strength of our leaders to lead. This was a mutual falling apart of the Jewish people and the leaders, because since our leaders did not feel emboldened to stand up and to say something, whether it's at the wedding or here, because there was a cutoff of Yesod and Malchus. There was a cutoff of the leaders of the Jewish people and the Jewish people. And that's because internally within the Jewish people ourselves, we were cut off from our own internal self-leadership.
Yes. What about the rest of the Sanhedrin? One person does not decide
Right. So what we're understanding is that it was the whole Sanhedrin. And his name is mentioned according to the Tiferes Shlomo because his name is Zechariah. To tell you what's really happening here. But he was the leader. He's the leader. And usually we name the rule after the leader. He was the leader of the Sanhedrin, presumably. Question is, you know, what about the other rabbis of that time? But it seems like in the Lishchas Agazis, this is in the main Sanhedrin, he was there. And so it's his anava, which was saying this anava that he accomplishes in this place. This was a bad anava, but it was because the Jewish people had caused this. So he says, "Ugamkein al kavana zu v'dok." Those are his thoughts, and I want to tie all these together and then just finish the thought. Yes.
I went to the history, but I didn't see how deep it is. But also, it was in the prophecy. That's why it was Rabbi Akiva who was laughing when he saw what in the past.
Yeah.
Because the prophecy was so crazy.
Yeah.
And then he was laughing because he said, if we are here, so
that's
means that the
vision. Right. So the thing is, you know, that's Nechama. Right? Akiva Nechamtanu, you consoled us. And, you know, that's the next Shabbos. Right? The Shabbos Nechama. But in Shabbos Chazon, which is the vision, so we can already see the future coming, but it's still in view.
And also, like you say, that is in the parashat now. When I was reading the parashat, I say, if all of us, we are going for the soldiers, that they have that in now, what it's saying in the Torah, and they have that koach to fight, because it's a promise. So good. We have it.
Right, but again, you're bringing up words of Nechama, yeah. And it's always good, but you know, we're... Okay, so once again, we had basically all of these are running along the same theme. Number one, that it's Moshe Rabbeinu who has the strength to save the Jewish people by the Chet Ha'egel, and he's just standing there and defending us all the time, even when we mess up. But the reason why he's able to do that is because we have a connection with him, and he has a connection with us. And that connection, and as long as they maintain that connection, it's only when the Jewish people start doing things towards Moshe that Moshe falls on his face, like, how am I supposed to help them if their rebellion is against me? How can I pray for them? But in the case of what we're learning is that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that in all future times, I will be there. And you can come to me and I will help you daven, and that's called davar asher yiksha, anything that becomes difficult, and that's where Yirmiyah comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then we learned that Reb Tzadok, he also, he fasted, And he fasted, and the question was, what did he accomplish? And the answer is, every one of his fasts delayed the Churban HaBayis by 40 years. One person delayed the Churban HaBayis for 40 years. And you know how he did it? One day at a time. And so says the Tver Shlomo, as much as we're talking about destruction, there's a lesson there about how much you can accomplish by just focusing on making today your best day ever.
Does that mean that they had a connection with Rav Sadok, and that's why he was successful?
Right. Well, you'd have to say that the people saw him, and they did. They did. They saw. Everyone saw him as the tzaddik. And as long as people saw him that way, he was able to do these things. Kala olam kula nizam b'shvil Chanina b'ni. The whole world is sustained through Reb Chanina Mendoza, because the world knew that Reb Chanina Mendoza was that kind of tzaddik. They knew because the Kohen Gadol would daven on Yom Kippur, Hashem, please don't listen to Reb Chanina Mendoza. Because when he would be walking down the street and it was raining, he would say, Hashem, I'm trying to walk, and the rain would stop. And so the Kohen Gadol would die. They all knew Reb Chanina Mendoza. So when, as long as they maintain that connection, and that's what we have leaders today, we have tzaddikim today, and we have to figure out. And then finally, this Torah that he quotes from Eicha, Sachaku al Mishbateha, which the Medrash says is the loss of Shabbos Shemitah and the exit of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai from Yerushalayim. And he says the same idea. As long as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was in Yerushalayim, he was going to hold it up. But it reached the point where, what was he holding together? People burning each other's granaries down. How would that? So he went out, and Yerushalayim was destroyed, and that's why he can't. But all this comes back to our internal failure to see ourselves as responsible and providers and as the people who need to take charge. And when we don't have that internally, we can't have it externally to connect to our leaders, and our leaders can't connect to us. And that's the death of Zechariah. The death of Zechariah, where this tzaddik of the generation is giving the people Musar, and instead of hearing him, they're so bothered by it because there's such a great disconnection that they have to stop. And his blood boils. His blood boils because how can you have reached this place until Nebuzaradan has to murder hundreds of thousands of people over the blood of Zechariah? Who knows how many people died until finally he says, "You want me to kill them all?" And the blood settles down because at that point the message is across. The Yidden are still the Yidden, and we need to be. And so he's saying that same cutoff in the leadership is why Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkulis is the name that appears later in that later cutoff of the leadership. And who are we blaming here? Everyone. This is a group effort to bring fighting and disagreements and amongst the Jewish people. And that brings about destruction. So it's hard to talk about these things because, we do it. We need to do a better job of getting along. All of Klal Yisrael. Whether you're Shomer Torah mitzvahs or you only know that your mother's mother is Jewish. From one extreme to the other extreme, everyone has to love each other. And if we can bring that together, now that's binyan. But as long as we're like this, we're living in this world of Harigas Zechariah, of the cutting off of the leadership and the providing for the Jewish people, as gets before Tisha B'Av, we have to motivate ourselves to try to overcome some of these struggles. And Be'ezras Hashem, we could still have a moed that's a true moed, which we should be zochah to as Hashem to the Binyan Beis Hamikdash b'mehera b'yameinu.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rava.
Okay, so this is a good question, which I want to say it's not for me to answer. That's what I want to say. So I'm going to give a not for me answer. Right? Every generation has its leaders. Who those leaders are is a complicated question that we have to speak about in a more fit setting. But every person has access somehow to connect to the leadership of the Jewish people. And since people are listening to Torah anytime, I would say on Torah anytime are the majority of the leaders of the Jewish people. Like go hear some of their thoughts and gain some of their guidance. I'm picking one. I'm sure there are other places. But there are places where you can learn. There are great tzaddikim in our generation who have written great svarim. You can go hear from them in person, and you can learn from them. But I will just add one thing, that not every person can connect to every kind of leader, and different tzaddikim, and different people, and there's a reason why Hashem made, just like She'em Parzufehem, Domos, Kach Deoseim Shonos, right? Just like their faces are different, everyone's personality is different, so you should know that there's Hashkacha Pratis, and Hashem has provided for you what you need. You just have to look. It could be that we are not all taking advantage of everything that's there. But it is there, and it begins by really connecting within ourselves. But we need to, hopefully we will fix all of these issues by all of us coming together, just one person at a time, starting with ourselves to ourselves, and eventually to come together where all the Jewish people are connected to all our leaders, and that leader should be Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehir B'Amen.
Thank you,
Rabbi.
That's why there's a Hillel and a Shammai every generation.
Recording
some people need a Hillel, some people need a Shammai.
Yeah.